From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, and we have a garden tour company. We have producer Lizzie Steele here making all the technology work, and she'll answer your phone calls and get you on the board. If you missed the first hour, you can listen to Better Lawns and Gardens on iHeartRadio every Saturday morning, 7 to 8 a.m., or 24/7 wherever you listen to podcasts on betterlawns.com or iHeartRadio. They have it all. You can also go to our webpage, Better Lawns and Gardens on Facebook, and you will get links to listen to the show anytime. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. I'm excited because it's been a minute. Are we doing a dirty word of the day?
We are. Let's go.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day comes from my trip to Scotland, where we saw all the peat bogs and all of the fens. And if you're a crossword puzzle enthusiast, a marsh or a swamp, sometimes they use the word, but fen, F-E-N. So what's the difference between a bog or a fen? Well, bogs are unique wetlands with specific characteristics that set them apart from fens. One of the defining features is acidic soil, okay? And this creates really challenging conditions for plant growth. The acidity of the soil is caused by the accumulation of organic matter, primarily from decaying plants, and the lack of mineral-rich nutrients. As a result, bogs are known for being nutrient-poor environments. In Florida, there are two types of bogs, seepage bogs and shrub bogs. These contain dense stands of short shrubs, vines, and trees. They're also fire-dependent, which means they need fire every few years to keep the shrubs from developing into a forest. Bogs are areas where organic matter is accumulated and often include sphagnum moss. This accumulation, along with no water outflow, creates a very acidic, low-oxygen environment in which plants have had to develop adaptations to. Wildlife includes turtles, frogs, and even black bears. However, it's plants that make bogs so interesting. You can find normal wetland plants like cypress, wax myrtles, elderberry, and gallberry. Bogs are known for being home to unique plant species, such as carnivorous plants that have developed specialized mechanisms to capture and digest insects. In Florida, bogs can be found in various locations, particularly in Escambia County and the Florida Panhandle. The Wendover Archaeological Site in Brevard County is also a notable location for bogs. Tarkland Bayou Preserve State Park is another area where you can see pitcher plant bogs, and they showcase that unique ecosystem. Florida is home to about 20% of the wetlands in the United States, making bogs a significant part of its biodiversity. Now, fens are a distinct wetland ecosystem that are different than bogs. Unlike bogs, bogs are filled by rainwater, and fens are fed by mineral-rich groundwater, resulting in a nutrient-rich environment. They are found very rarely globally, but most common in glaciated areas of the Midwestern United States, the UK, and other parts of Eastern Europe. Fens support diverse plant communities, including sedges, orchids, and other wetland-adapted species. The plants thrive in the alkaline conditions, and they are often found near lakes, rivers, and streams. As a result, fens provide a habitat for a wider range of wildlife. They're home to reptiles, amphibians, and small mammals, land snails, butterflies, skippers, and dragonflies. And so the characteristics, bogs get rainwater, fens use groundwater. Bogs are nutrient poor, fens are nutrient rich. Bogs are highly acidic, fens are alkaline. Bogs contain sphagnum moss and carnivorous plants. Fens have sedges, orchids, and wetland-adapted species. Both of them include wildlife that can tolerates the wet conditions. Reptiles, amphibians, small mammals, butterflies, and dragonflies and bears. So that is the difference. We saw lots of fens in Scotland, but we don't have any here. In Florida, we have bogs.
Okay, that's good to know. Definitely. I don't think too many people knew that difference. So
no. Hmm. So that's why I thought I'd bring it to you. I have some beautiful pictures. And so we are coming up in our second hour. We have a lot of issues with insect in the yard. You're going to want to stay tuned. We have Roy Levin with Environmental Pest and Lawn Services. He will be here and give us some information about a warning that just came out from the University of Florida about things we're seeing. We also have your what to do in the month of September will be coming up. And then also, too, you can call us after the interview. Please call after the interview, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text anytime 23680, like Charles in Winter Springs and Tom in Lake Nona, and we'll talk about their information and what they are thinking this morning on Better Lawns and Gardens. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Joining me right now is Roy Levin. He is a vice president and manager for Environmental Pest and Lawn Services in Orlando. He's also the certified pest control operator. Good morning, Roy. Thank you for joining us. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you today?
I am great. Roy, tell us a little bit about your background. We want people to understand, you know, it's important to get advice from truly educated, licensed professionals. So what's your background?
Yeah, so I'm a certified pest control operator. I graduated from University of Florida with a degree in entomology and nematology back in 2005. My specialty was back in school was landscape nematology. But yeah, I've been with Environmental Pest and Lawn Services for 20 years. And, you know, given the background from UF, I have, I'm very fortunate to be able to collaborate with experts in the field, in their respective fields at UF and other institutions to do what we do best.
Excellent. Well, I certainly appreciate that. It's always important, and University of Florida is the premier school and background for information on lawn control. I know that. So Florida landscapes, they've had a really rough year this year. I mean, we've had a drought this spring. We've had extreme temperatures in spring and summer. And then all the rain that we've been getting. What are you seeing in yards right now? What are the issues?
So there's plenty of issues in yards, anything from insect pests that are infesting both lawns and landscape plants. We have been a lot of diseases going on. Weeds are always a problem that are competing with both lawns and plants. These are all challenges that we deal with on a daily basis.
It certainly is. And Roy, you mentioned pest issues, which I think Florida is infamous for. They say when you go to Florida, you get the bugs. But any particular insects that are being a problem this year?
So right now, the main issue that we're dealing with for the past couple of months in lawns are the southern chinch bugs. They've been they really give us a run for our money. Been a major problem.
And so when you mention chinch bugs, I think that's very, very important because there was University of Florida, Dr. Adam Dale, who's the entomologist for UF. He just sent out a warning to all the pest control companies that he was alarmed about seeing in yards this year. What was that?
So the warning that he sent out wasn't just for the pest control companies, but really for anybody, for everybody who has a lawn. And what he's worried about is what our industry has been concerned about for decades, is the inability of our landscape targeting insecticides to manage pests effectively. And in this particular case, we're talking about chinch bugs. And what we're seeing in the past couple of months, we saw a little bit of it last year as well, is that there are just localized populations of chinch bugs in St. Augustine grass. And again, I want to stress that these are just localized areas. It's not every chinch bug everywhere, just localized areas where certain insecticides are not managing chinch bugs effectively, or no insecticides that we have on the market available for us are doing a good job at managing certain populations here and there of chinch bugs. And so, we're very worried that this is going to become more widespread.
So what we're what you're saying is that even if it's labeled, the chemical that's available to homeowners and to pest control companies that are licensed, that they the chemicals that are permitted and allowed, they're not eradicating chinch bugs.
Cora, I don't like to use the word eradicating when we talk about insect pests, because they, you know, the key here is to manage populations. But you know, there are hundreds of products out there, hundreds of insecticides that are labeled for management of insect pests, including chinch bugs. But out of all of these hundreds of insecticides, we really only have five chemistries that are labeled for pest management. So you go to the box store and you see shelves and shelves of insecticides. Many of them do the exact same thing. And there's only five different categories of how the insecticides are affecting the pests. And so we are only five of them. Two of them I wouldn't touch. Because they're simply not safe. So we really only have three left. And we're seeing certain populations of chinch bugs that are simply not responding to these insecticides.
Okay, so I appreciate your eradicating that. This is what everybody should know, is that we're always going to have pests with us, but it's just populations, how much, and, you know, to be tolerant of a little bit. You don't have. We're not going to completely eradicate insects in Florida, or should we want to, right?
So it's very important to keep insects here, okay? We're not, it's not about eliminating or managing all insects. We're talking about specific pests. So I have homeowners tell me all the time, I'm looking through lawns, and I see, okay, I see a bunch of spiders, I see big-eyed bugs, et cetera, and they tell me, oh, how can I get rid of them? I say, you don't want to get rid of them. They're great to have here. Okay, now these are things that eat chinch bugs, so why would you want to get rid of them? Well, because they're spiders. Well, so what? We want them in the landscape. This is what we want to have in our landscapes. They're native to here, and they should stay here. So when we apply insecticides, we need to target specific pests, not just eliminate all insects. That is not what we do.
That is a great, great piece of advice, and so I appreciate it. And so we do have bugs that are ugly, but they do good things, and so they're predator bugs for the bad bugs, so we really need to keep them. That's wonderful. So what should homeowners understand about this generation, or what we're seeing, these chinch bugs that we're seeing now in local areas? What should homeowners understand about them?
So these chinch bugs, they've developed resistance to certain insecticides. And so a population may be as small as a certain amount of chinch bugs causing damage in one yard, and the yard next door at your neighbor's may have chinch bugs that have not developed resistance. So we have a couple of accounts, mainly in Apopka, where I can manage chinch bugs just fine in one yard, and then the yard directly next door, it doesn't matter what I'm using, the chinch bugs are not responding. Also, one insecticide may work just fine in managing the population of chinch bugs, while another is not. And we're talking about classes of chemistries, not a brand name necessarily. So I think homeowners need to understand that pest control companies are doing their very, very best in managing these populations. We are not miracle workers. And if you're going to do it yourself, that's fantastic, but make sure that to follow the label and to rotate chemistries. And if you don't know what you're doing, call a professional.
I certainly agree with you. So does it matter what kind of turf grass someone has? Where chinch bugs, what type of grass do they like?
Yes, absolutely. So definitely the most preferred turf grass is St. Augustine grass. We have many varieties of St. Augustine grass, and they are not created equal. There are some varieties that are definitely can be damaged much more than other varieties. Technically, Zosia grass and Bermuda grass are also hosts for chinch bugs. In the 20 years I've been doing this, I've only seen chinch bugs actually damage these other grasses maybe a couple of times, so it's not a serious problem. What we're looking for definitely is St. Augustine grass. It is definitely the most important turf grass with respect to chinch bugs.
Oh, that's great. So what is your opinion the best way to prevent having chinch bugs?
So proper management of the grass is probably the best way to, I don't know if prevention is the best word, but to limit the exposure or limit the amount of damage that chinch bugs will cause. So management of the grass is important. So proper mowing, proper watering when needed. Don't let the lawn go excessively dry or excessively wet. Of course, that's easier said than done with daily rain.
Exactly.
So mowing at the correct height is very important. Managing thatch is extremely important because excessive thatch is just a haven for chinch bugs. And listen to your landscaper and listen to your pest control company that you hire, because, you know, a lot of times people tell me, oh, you're making excuses. Well, it's not excuses, it's what needs to be done. So if you have too much thatch, it needs to be resolved. If you're mowing at an incorrect height, that needs to be resolved as well. These are all things that are important for managing not just chinch bugs, but many pests and diseases in the landscape.
So Roy, we're talking about thatch. And so thatch is usually found more commonly in older grasses, but with excessive fertilizing. What do you say about fertilizing recommendations for turf? People who want to fertilize all the time and thatch, what do you recommend?
So excessive fertilization is definitely a problem, especially when homeowners do it themselves. We have a fertilizer ban, you know, mainly during the summertime of the year. That's with respect to nitrogen and phosphorus. So if you're going to do it yourself, number one thing, just get a soil test. A simple soil test is so important, mainly with respect to pH and phosphorus, and that'll give you recommendations of how to fertilize your lawn. But not only that, from a fertilization perspective, every lawn is going to be different. We don't fertilize one lawn exactly the same as we fertilize another lawn, because, you know, soils are different, microenvironments are different, the type of grass is different. So get a soil test, and I would say from a nitrogen perspective, don't put more than maybe 2.5-3 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet on turf grass.
Excellent. Excellent. Roy, we've just got a minute here, hon. So thank you so much for coming on. Now, if people would like more information about chinch bugs or your services, where would they go?
So University of Florida has excellent resources, both online, but also in the local extension offices. They can also contact us at the office. We'll be happy to help. If you're in Orange or Seminole County, that's our service areas. We limit our services to those areas. Definitely contact your local extension office.
Real quick, Roy, what's your phone number?
407-532-8188, and it's EPLS.
EPLS. Thank you so much.
EPLS1.com.
One.com. Gotcha, Roy. Thank you so much for coming on. Want to talk to you later. All right, we're going to be back with more Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, I would love to help you. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. Let's go to Alice in Melbourne. Good morning, Alice. How are you?
Well, good morning. I'm so glad to hear you every time you're on, and I wish you were more often.
Oh, thank you.
But I have a bougainvillea that and hibiscus that just seem to be growing out of bounds, and unfortunately, they grow a little bit on my neighbor's yard. They grow over the line of our division, and my neighbor breaks them off and lets the branch hang there to let me know that it's getting in her way, although it's really by her driveway, but whatever. The thing is it good to keep trimming the bougainvillea and hibiscus? Because then, of course,
you cut off the flowers.
Blooming, and that's
yes,
the best part of it.
Well, you can always cut off anything that hangs over her side, and I would tell you to kind of preemptively do it. Go ahead and just keep your that side where your neighbor is trimmed, so she doesn't break it.
Yeah.
And if she does break them, then I would cut directly below it and just give it a nice clean cut. So the bougainvillea, yes, I don't have a problem with cutting because they grow very quickly and it doesn't depend on their blooming. The pruning doesn't depend on the blooming doesn't depend on the pruning. But your hibiscus, you don't want to be cutting off blooms there. And so I would say you cut your hibiscus in February after the wintertime. Cut them in August, and then you don't need to cut them during the rest of the year.
Yeah, unless she complains. But anyway, yeah, I do try to keep it trimmed on her side. The bougainvillea, though, will it bloom if it keeps getting trimmed back a little bit?
Yes, it will. It'll continue to bloom. See, so bougainvillea really needs to be stressed out to bloom. And so does yours bloom frequently, or does it have a lot of flowers on it, a lot of color?
Yeah, it does have pink flowers, and I love it. But it can't be trimmed back all the time because then it doesn't have time to develop the flowers, I think.
Well,
I haven't been getting. Maybe it just doesn't bloom in the wintertime.
It reduces the bloom. They bloom, more profusely in the spring and summer when the temperatures get a little cooler. That will hold down the flowers, because those pink bracts that you see are they are actually leaves, and all bougainvilleas have white flowers. And so if you look inside those bracts, they have white flowers. So it shouldn't matter anytime you cut it. It shouldn't affect the blooming.
Well, the other question, thank you for that, but the other question regarding the St. Augustine, I did plant St. Augustine when we first moved in, but it has just kind of disappeared. I mean, now I've got more zoysia, I guess, or
sedge.
Some other kind of grass.
Yeah, probably sedge.
It's a creeping grass.
Right. Spreads by rhizomes.
Yeah, so is that zoysia?
Well, it's not. No, it's not zoysia, but it's probably just sedge. If I can remember correctly, Alice, you do not have an irrigation system, right?
No, that's right. You've got a good memory.
Yeah, so you do not have an irrigation system. And, you know, when you have St. Augustine lawns, especially when we go through droughts like we did this spring, you definitely need to, have irrigation to keep the St. Augustine alive. St. Augustine, if it doesn't get water and it doesn't get rainfall, it will die. Unlike zoysia and bahia grass. Zoysia and bahia grass will go dormant if they're established and they don't get rainfall or irrigation. They will return and they will green back up again when the rain or irrigation is returned. So, just St. Augustine, you just may have to either resod or just do a section at a time and just plug and get it all under control again.
All righty. Well,
okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's so good to hear from you, Alice. Thank you so much for calling. Take care. Alice is a longtime listener in Melbourne.
Yes.
And so we love Alice. Okay. So Tom in Lake Nona, he loves growing citrus tree or fruit trees. And his recommendations are mulberry, papaya, and starfruit. He says they grow very well for him, and I agree. They're great, great plants, mulberry, papaya, and starfruit. Now, Charles in Winter Springs, he sent a text message, and he said, a perfect text message, Charles. Thank you. You get the prize. How do I get rid of torpedo grass and Asiatic jasmine? I also have large sections of Asiatic jasmine that have died. All that is left is stems. Okay, a couple of things. Let's take the dead Asiatic jasmine first. So, Charles, have you sprayed anything on it? Has your neighbor sprayed anything on it? Have you had any damage or something sitting on it that would cause it to die? That's my concern. I can't see Asiatic jasmine just dying for no reason. So if it is, you know, if some of the area looks good and some of it doesn't, what happened in that area? You may want to just cut it back a little bit and let it grow back again. That should be fine. But you can use on sedge in Asiatic jasmine, there's two products, sedge hammer and sedge ender, that you can use that will not kill the Asiatic jasmine, but you want to be very careful, especially with the heat of the summertime and with rain. One, that the rain may dilute it. It may not work as well. So you want to do it at a time when you're going to have a day, a couple of days of no rain where it can get into the system of the plant and you know, die. Okay, so, but also too, you don't want to do it in the heat of the day when it's extremely hot, and it may, you know, tend to make the Asiatic jasmine decline. So you may have to use it a couple of times. Follow the instructions on the label for reapplication, Charles. And that's sedge hammer and sedge ender for tapeto grass. And your Asiatic jasmine should be just fine. All right? 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And we will take your message and get on the phone and call. I'm so glad to be back, Lizzie.
Oh, we are so glad to have you back, because I cannot tell you how many text messages that we had this last week or so of how much, where's Teresa? We miss Teresa. Did you guys get rid of her?
No. You didn't get rid of me. But I just have the really blessed fortune to, you know, have Tama coming around. And, you know, he will fill in for me when I can't be here. And so I do appreciate that. I love Tom. We're going to be right back with more Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Quality Green Specialists has the plants, products, and friendly expert advice to keep your garden healthy and bountiful. Quality Green has thousands of plants, trees, flowers, herbs, vegetables, and more. Plus, high-quality organic-based fertilizers, products, even comprehensive soil testing. Visit DLand's beautiful nursery and fine fertilizer store. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Located at 335 West Michigan Avenue. QualityGreenSpecialist.com. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Boating in Florida, it's a year-round deal. But when alcohol is involved, the chances of disaster increase. When you drink and operate a boat, it doesn't just affect you. It affects your friends and the rest of the people around you. It violates Florida law to boat under the influence of alcohol or drugs. But most importantly, it's a risk that can turn a great day into one to forget. To learn more about best practices while boating, visit myfwc.com.
It's almost time for National Voter Registration Day. Join in celebrating democracy and the right to vote on Tuesday, September 16th. No matter your political views, National Voter Registration Day is a chance to get yourself, your family, your friends, and community vote ready for election 2025. With federal, state, and local races coming up, your voice can make a difference up and down the ballot. For more information, visit NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org. That's NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Nightbird.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks95. That's BRUX95.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
This is...
So Dan in Melbourne called earlier, and we got disconnected by the technology at the bottom of the hour. We have always have a hard break, and the computer shuts it off. So Dan, if you are listening and new to Florida, termites, when I said that they can get into the concrete, I just mean that they do exploit concrete, and they can get through it to get to something that they can eat. Okay, so they do not eat the concrete or cement, but they can, if your home is concrete block, termites can still get in through the cracks in the foundation, through an opening in the ground, and get into your house. So if you would like to have more information, Dan, about termites, if you want to send me an email, and you can send me an email at Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, @live.com, Teresa.Watkins@live.com, or you can go to betterlawns.com and send an email through the website, and I will get it and I will send you more information. I don't want you to be worried about that as much. You just bought a new home, so it's been termite tested. It's termite free right now. You just want to keep up on your termiticide applications as they come due, and you're going to be just fine. What termites want is moisture. They need food and moisture. The cellulose in the wood is what they're looking for. But if you're watering your lawns and you're watering your house and your irrigation is hitting your house, that increases the moisture around your foundation, and that's what termites are looking for. You do not want your irrigation to hit your house. You want the irrigation to spray outward, and you want it about 2 feet away. You want 2 feet around your house foundation to be dry as possible. Okay, termites do not come after mulch. Okay, they come after the moisture that the mulch is putting down. So even if you have rocks around your house, you can still get termites because they can go, they need the moisture in the ground, and that rock mulch will hold the moisture in the ground. So just to clarification, if you'd like more information, you can always go to my website, betterlawn.com, send me an email, and I'll send you more information on it. Keep up on your termite applications. That's very, very important. Let's go to Brenda in Polk City. Good morning, Brenda. How can I help you?
Yes. I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I have a mature avocado tree,
uh-huh,
and it really needs to have some limbs trimmed back.
Okay.
And it's a good time to do that.
Okay, so limbs that you're not going to use.
I still have a little bit of fruit on.
Okay.
I still have a little bit of fruit on.
Okay, so any limbs that have fruit on it, you don't want to cut right now unless the fruit is ready. But if you want to take off a limb that does not have fruit, you can do that any time of the year. Okay? So you can limit up any time of the year so you can get underneath it. All right? The best time to prune avocados is right after you harvest the fruit off of it. Okay? So I would do harvesting, you know, now between now and springtime, you can go ahead and prune it back and just let the fruits develop over the spring and summertime.
Okay. And how often and what should I fertilize it with?
I would just use a balanced fertilizer. Your nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, 666 is good, 888 is good, you know, 10-10-10. So just a balanced fertilizer. And you want to use a slow-release fertilizer that has micronutrients in it.
Okay. My husband went to the county to that ag place, and we have weeds everywhere, and they told him that he took some samples of the weeds, and he told them that he should spray with 2-4-D.
Dicamba, yeah.
And And with the heat like it is, when should we be able to start?
Okay, we do not recommend using weed killers when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. And that's because the weeds are going to resist and be stronger in the summertime with these hot temperatures, and your grass is going to suffer. So your bahia grass has a more chance of likelihood of being damaged when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. I would do it in October. Okay? So weed killers, if you want to do that, 2,4-D dicamba in October, that will be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brenda. Call anytime. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Bill in Orlando. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Good, thank you. Listen, we have a bed of some gold Monzonora petalum in front of that, some Asiatic jasmine. And unfortunately, it hasn't been maintained properly. And the Asiatic jasmine, as you can imagine, has run amok.
Mm-hmm. Is it going up through the Laura petalum?
Oh, yeah. And I was wondering if there's any way just to slice that. Because it's flourishing, looks so great. Instead of just slicing and throwing it out, is there any way to transplant it?
Sure. Go ahead and dig a section of it up, especially behind or close between the Laura petalum and the Asiatic jasmine. Take out that area, get as much of the root system as possible, and put it somewhere else.
What would you suggest for the preparation? Since the soil is so sandy, it doesn't hold any water.
That's okay. I wouldn't worry about that. Asiatic jasmine grows in sandy soils. I would just say water it well the first couple of weeks and make sure that it stays kind of moist so that it adheres, and make sure you get good root contact. So I would dig up the soil and the root system and put it all, just dig up a little, wedge of it and put it in the ground, and it'll be just fine. Not a problem.
Okay.
All right.
One other quick question.
Sure.
We have some zoysia that seems to be overrun by weeds and some sedge. Uh-huh. Is it just better to kill it off and start over?
If you have more than 75% of your lawn is the weeds, yeah. Because if not, you're going to just spend an awful lot of money in chemicals, and it would be cheaper to put in a lawn. So if you can check out sections like squares and just dig it up and then put new zoysia in, that's going to be cheaper in the long run.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, Bill. Thank you so much. Great questions. Chemicals are so expensive. If you have a little bit of weeds, spot treat, keep it under control. Don't let it get it out of hand. Once it's out of control and your whole entire area, I literally walk yards and they'll go, well, I have a weed issue. They don't have a lawn at all. It's all weeds. And I'm looking, I'm going, there's no grass here. And so, it's just interesting to see people just let it go too long.
Yes.
Catch a problem when it's a small problem.
Yes. And it's funny that you say that, because we've got don't walk our lawn, Teresa, because you're going to be like, what lawn? But we do have spots that we just laid sod in certain spots of we're doing quarters of areas that we're doing right now. And you're right. It's crazy because, what we did is stopped using the chemicals, and we because we own a dump truck and a tractor company. So we used our Bobcat, just scraped all the old crap out and got rid of it, and then laid all brand new sod. And it's gorgeous.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So. And so when we dig down like that, and so you did it right and you sodded it all and it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to do it. You want to make sure that we're not digging up the soil. So some people will dig up the soil and leave it so that it doesn't have any cover on it. And that's where weed seeds from 20 years ago,
facts,
can start germinating because of the sunlight. And that's why we get a lot of weeds when we do landscape installations, especially with sedge.
Yes.
Sedge will come up in a heartbeat in new mulch. And also, too, weed seeds get into mulch piles. So when you're getting mulch in large amounts, and even in the bags, once it hits the full sun, you can see the weed seeds germinating. So it's kind of a little frustrating.
And that's the thing, is we've done that before and had somebody else come in and do it. And that's another one of these areas. And that's why we're having to redo our lawn, is because they went too deep, stirred everything up. So now we're ending up with stickers. I haven't seen stickers in 40 years.
There
on this
you
property.
Go. See, isn't that something?
Yeah,
I can understand that. That is frustrating. And so, we just want to tell everybody that we just appreciate all our phone callers, our listeners. Thank you for hanging in there and for calling and texting and letting us know you're out there. We do appreciate it. Our listeners are just wonderful. Also, too, if your local station doesn't broadcast Better Lawns and Gardens, please ask them to. Just ask them to join the network and or ask us to be part of their schedule. Please remember to check out our sponsors, Black Cow, Summit Responsible Solutions, which has the best products for mosquito control. I came back to fungus gnats. I need to use mosquito bits.
There you go.
And so I was glad I had it on hand. I put them in there. While I was gone, they decided to move in. And Quality Green Specialist, Dana. I'm going to have Dana on, I think, next week. He'll be able to be on. And we're going to talk about what to do in September, from a nutritional standpoint for lawns.
Oh, nice.
Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland. They're having a vegetable class.
Yes, it'll be the fall vegetable gardening next Saturday, mm-hmm. and it's a BYOC, which means bring your own chair, and it starts at 9:30 and show up early.
That will be great. And also, too, if you'd like more information about Art and Bloom Garden Tours, you can check out the Facebook page or go to the website artandbloomgardentours.com, and you can travel with us and go visit beautiful gardens. We have a great selection of trips for 2026
yes.
that we would love for you to go on. And you can geek out at gardens with me. Yes. I love geeking out at gardens.
Yep, and you can get all that information at what website?
Artandbloomgardentours.com.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Lizzie. You are a gem. I missed you. I'm so glad to be back.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Remember to turn your irrigation systems off. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.